Blog Talk Radio.
I'm a truth terrorist. I'm a knowledge gangster. I'm a black history hitman. I'm a lie killer, urban gorilla. I gotta be a roughneck.
Free the Black Panthers, FCBP. Stand for Free the Black Panthers. And fuck the black police. That 13th Amendment. Trying to make a slave of me. You can lock my body, can't trap my mind, not forever be free.
Okay,
Free the Black Panthers, FCBP. Stand for Free the Black Panthers, and fuck the black police. Feds infiltrated our movements for black leadership roles. But we still here, finna build here, up coin sale pro.
Show,
they got me started, lying hearted, I'm the new Mufasa. And I'm all about Umoja, first in Gruz Usaba. Let's bring back the black families, we need our father. Single mama, son and daughter, that's root of the problem. Wise up, we wise up, unity so powerful. Black banks, black schools, black owned, black power moves. You telling lies, if you think this shit gon' be televised. Black power, be scared guys, they be standing there like they paralyzed, ha. We say fuck the system, cause we above the system. We keep ARs and pistols, shotguns that's worth the crystal. But that's for self-defense, make sure we have no issues. Be sure to leave it at the door if you have it with you. This for them freedom fighters, that lost their freedom. Until they freedom, we screaming carpe diem. This for the general, King Khalid Muhammad. We gon' make your day a holiday, I fuck me promise.
Free the Black Panthers, FCBP. Stand for Free the Black Panthers, and fuck the black police. That 13th Amendment, tryna make a slave of me. You can lock my body, can't trap my mind, not forever be free.
Okay,
Free the Black Panthers, FCBP. Stand for Free the Black Panthers, and fuck the black police. Feds infiltrated our movements for black leadership roles. But we still here, finna build here, up coin sale pro.
RBG, 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 RBG. My sisters, my brothers, the council, the elders, cause that's really all I need. We suited, we booted, don't do it, you stupid, we head to the armory. Black woman and goddess, regardless, my heart just don't fuck with misogyny. Bullshit that don't tolerate it, melanated, so you gotta hate it. Barack upped up another conversation, Trump finna get inaugurated, damn. Unify or die, NBPP.org.
First and foremost, the new Black Panther Party, no other Black Panther Party, we are not violent. We are for self-defense and self-determination. The most violent group in this country are the police. What is taking place by the police department to black people across this country is ethnic cleansing and genocide. It has escalated since the day that Barack Obama was inaugurated in 2008. We have a people who are only 13% of the population, yet we make up 80% of the prisons. We have 50% unemployment rate in the black community, and it's actually even more than that because they're not counting our people that are in the prisons. The 13th Amendment says you cannot be made a slave or indentured servant unless you commit a crime. The 14th Amendment forced our people to be subjects of this government. We never had any say in that. We need our own nation.
Years, fantastic, young veteran, new classic.
off the walls off. Fuck the whole key, we gon' hit the whole door off. I'm still AD, never forget it. It's life after death, roll the credits. Credit my maker, take a trip to see Jamaica. Molly spirit with the vapor, back to Zion, that's the nature. As for Southern New America, I hope I run this permanent. If this, I put my pen in, they got my land and my permit with it. Bone on my bone, flesh on my flesh. Witness in me, you can't make me feel less. Let's hold, I'm not impressed. Best smoke on my iPhone like an empress. Great state I'm in all states I'm in. I might find a form in my melanin. Great state I'm in all states I'm in. I might find a form in my melanin. Great state I'm in all states I'm in. I might find a form in my melanin. Great state I'm in all states I'm in. I might find a form in my melanin. Black power. First name Eve, somebody ate the food, they told the great she never eat. I'm trippin', DNA seeds like I'm born gray, I be mad, 2 G's. Third world in it, first world I dated. No mentor, all my heroes assassinated. We been here, reincarnated. Tryna finish what they started and we made it. Great state I'm in all states I'm in. I might find a form in my melanin. Great state I'm in all states I'm in. I might find a form in my melanin. Great state I'm in all states I'm in. I might find a form in my melanin. Great state I'm in all states I'm in. I might find a form in my melanin. Black power.
Turn this motherfucking shit up. tank top, flip-flop, naughty dreadlock, fuck a cop, hip-hop, make your head bob, bounce to this, socialist movement, my environment made me the nigga I am, Uncle Sam came and got me and the rest of my fam, try to infiltrate and murder off the best of my clan, I'm not American, punk, Democrat, or Republican, remember that, most of the cats you know be hustling, my mama worked all her life and still struggling, I blame it on the government and say it on the radio, and if you don't already know, all these Uncle Tom ass kissing niggas got to go, got to go, got to go, got to go.
Black power, black power, and good evening, everyone. You're listening to the New Black Panther Party for Self-Defense Nightly Broadcast. Broadcasting all over the planet Earth. We are going to have a very special program tonight. We will be hearing from our brothers and sisters in Ghana from Pan-African TV, playing a clip from Pan-African TV from Good Morning Africa. Before we get this program started, this clip is going to be pretty lengthy, So I do see that we have our brother Yaya that put his hand up. We'll allow him to make a comment before we play this clip. Black Power, Yaya, you have the mic.
May the peace of the Creator be with you. Black Power, Honorable Crystal Muhammad. I'm grateful for the opportunity to be able to speak. I just wanted to share with everyone that, inshallah, where are we now that we have requested the ears and eyes and hearts and minds of our nations, nation within a nation, the end of fight, the black nation, their eyes and ears and the ones with feet and boots on the ground. Inshallah, we are formally now requesting organized meetings with the White House and with ATF to present the work from our elders and the youth. And I just wanted to share that so that I can uplift hearts, even though that we're going through the state of mourning for many of us, and many of us are being reborn in many ways, and many of us are speaking up and speaking truth, speaking power to lies. And in a time where it may be very inconvenient to others. And therefore, we worry for the safety of our youth because it's clear that they're targeted, especially because of their differences. And but I wanted to share the most beautiful thing, if you allow me, Honorable Crystal Muhammad, to conclude, that I listened to Honorable President Joseph Biden address parents, survivors of the Parkland shooting. They lost children there. And what President Joe Biden told them and asked them to stand up and said, it doesn't go away, does it, man? And he was referring to the pain of mourning, the constant state of mourning, of being separated from our families unjustly. And when he said, it doesn't go away, it reminded me that even though this pain doesn't go away, and when we say that we don't even have to be alive to heal, it means that we are honestly trying to do what so many people call the multi-generational work. So that if we get an opportunity to heal, it also allows our ancestors to heal, even though they're not here with us. And also, the fact that we don't need evidence and we don't need to believe to know that life is eternal. Alhamdulillah. And life being eternal is something that doesn't go away. So, alhamdulillah, I wanted to share with the world that I was uplifted because I was unexpectedly and serendipitously giving the answer and the forensic evidence that everyone is looking for the question of life after death or whether life is eternal by Honorable President Joseph Biden himself when he asked the parents, survivors, that constantly know that this pain doesn't go away, it is the proof that life is eternal. That is our proof that life is eternal, and that's why we fearlessly and humbly, alhamdulillah, for the opportunity to be given a voice by the new Black Panther Party and Honorable Crystal Muhammad and everyone under her leadership to be given a voice and share this. Alhamdulillah, the work is finished. Inshallah, whether it's solutions or not, it all remains of whether we stay alive or children stay alive long enough for a formal, organized presentation. And may the peace of the Creator be with everyone. And we're, as Honorable Crystal Muhammad says and reminds everyone, we are not our ancestors' prayer. humbly loud praises to the Creator, which includes the Goddess.
Black power.
We are our ancestors' prayers answered. Alhamdulillah. May the peace of the Creator be with you, Black Power. Honorable Prophet Muhammad. Thank you.
And may the peace of the Creator be with you and with all the journeys that you and your cadre are taking. Speak truth to power, and you will be successful. All right. Much success to you and your contingency that you're going to be making that presentation. Thank you, Brother Yaya. All right.
Alhamdulillah.
Yes,
inshallah. We request that you be there with us. Alhamdulillah. Inshallah.
I can't comment on that at this moment, but we'll follow up on that.
Honorable Crystal Muhammad.
I'm not going to make any false promises. I don't trust old Joe Biden, but you guys do what you guys got to do.
I'm grateful, Honorable Crystal Muhammad. We speak power to lies.
That's right.
But we never see it as power. We see it as the relief for that pain that doesn't go away. And there are formal ways to present our truths, and we have to give that an opportunity. And inshallah, as we meet the Creator halfway with our prayers, we hope that we are met halfway by our government, in which has a secret black cabinet, alhamdulillah. Black power.
Black power. Brother Yaya, what a beautiful spirit our brother Yaya has. And we do pray for success on his mission. So without further ado, we want to remind everyone before we play this clip to be sure to go to www.nbpp.org and click the donate button to help support this broadcast and the long and continued underground works of our brothers and sisters in the New Black Panther Party. And we also want to remind you that you can go to www.nbpp.org. If you're interested in joining, hit the contact button and send us a message. And if it's information you want to forward to us or information that we have presented that you want to follow up on, that still is your contact. That's www.nbpp.org. So without any further ado, we're going to hear our broadcast, our updates from what's going on in West Africa, in Ghana, and some from the brothers and sisters of Pan-African TV. This clip is going to start now and will end play until the end of the broadcast. Black Power.
Trasaco Estates, home to Accra's most beautiful and luxurious homes, presents its newest addition, Trasaco Springs, a premium master planned community of service plots surrounded by an exhaustive list of amenities. The gated community off Tema to Accra Motorway presents you the finest opportunity to own a land that suits your preferred size, budget and payment terms. Trasaco Springs is open to you for development. Our on-site sales executives are ready. Call on 055-659-2658.
I still not got the money for that list of expensive building materials you sent to me.
The price of the iron rod, how many?
It's too much, Adam.
Madam, relax. Look, that's not why I did call. I just visited IPCP, where the engineers told me everything about Trasaco first floor.
Trasaco, please, don't you call expensive.
Are they not the people building those big houses in town?
I bet most of them are guys.
Madam, in fact, I used to think the same of until I visited their office today, and they gave me an estimate of how much it will cost.
Yomo, the estimate is real! It's cheaper than the one I even sent you!
Wow!
Building contractors, foremen, masons, visit IPCP, the Tricycle Fast Floor. Engineers will assist you build an affordable, faster, and stronger building.
And what's a Tricycle?
Oh, madam, madam. It is done.
Wow!
Tricycle Fast Floor. Stronger, faster, and affordable.
This is a Tricycle construction product.
Every day he looks after his brother and chases a bus. Every day he looks after his brother, chases a bus, and learns new things. Every day he looks after his brother, chases a bus, learns new things, and gets back home. Every day he looks after his brother, chases a bus, learns new things, gets back home, and helps his mom. Phew. That's why every day he needs his cup of Milo, filled with the nutritious goodness of malt, milk, and cocoa. Milo, the energy to go further.
From Nestle.
This advert is FDA approved.
Welcome to Wednesday. My name is Kwame Usunna. So thank you very kindly for choosing Pan African Television. It's always a bliss when I get to spend my mornings with you. Today is no exception, as we've always been doing. This morning we're going to be touching on a number of pressing matters, teething issues we are confronted with. And indeed, I have the people who have the know-how to discuss these matters. Now, let me quickly share with you the topics for our conversation this morning. Kandapa under fire for bizarre admonishment of judges. Republic Press. Kandapa under fire for bizarre admonishment of judges. We will account for e-levy, Akufo-Addo tells Ghanaians. And on flooding in the capital, Accra needs structural plan. Daily Graphic Newspaper. Daily Graphic Newspaper. I'll be joined in the studios by Mr. Edgar Redu. Good morning, sir.
Yeah, good morning. How are you doing?
I'm well, sir. And Honorable Dr. Adumako Kisi. Good morning, sir.
Morning.
He is our MP for Anyasu to constituency.
Yes.
And Honorable Dr. Rashid Pelpu. Good morning.
Good morning, my brother.
MP for War Central.
I didn't know he was a ladies' man. Or...
Hey, you don't know?
I didn't know.
But they love him.
Hey,
he said they love his height, they love his voice.
I just heard it recently.
You didn't know?
Hey, what is this that you're talking
shit.
About?
Shit,
don't say
but your wife knows, so don't feel bad.
Please.
They admire you all.
They admire you more.
You look at Edgar. It brings to mind Monica Cons. Monica Cons and then
where is she?
What's Monica?
Oh, man, you used
to chat to the lady.
Yeah.
Monica,
Jamila. Jamila. Edgar Jamila.
You're on air. Can the prize what to you guys?
Honestly, this was a big one. I didn't know you were there.
Anyway, so let's understand why Kandapa is under fire. It appears that people are unhappy with the way he criticized the judiciary, and on the basis of that, he has come under some heavy attack. Now, the New Patriotic Party's legal committee chairman, Mr. Frank Davis, has taken a swipe at the National Security Minister, Mr. Kandapa, for his comments, suggesting that justice delivery in the country is perceived to be tilted towards one party. According to him, the minister's comments are misplaced because saying that one political party is in power, so the justices should be mindful of how they interpret the law is completely lopsided. National security will be threatened in what way? So what?
Wow, so what?
The judges are supposed to balance the equation. They give 5 judgments in favor of the MPP and give another 5 in favor of the NDC. He's quizzing. It is not a sharing party. I really respect Kandapa a lot, but I think maybe he got a contest completely wrong, he said. Mr. Kandapa, speaking at a sensitization workshop on the national security strategy for judges of the Superior Court, warned that perceptions that the judiciary is biased has dire consequences on the country's security. This is what I find very troubling. This is what I find very troubling. I think yesterday Ambassador Sampiale raised this matter on the show, that it appears that increasingly we are building a legal system where we have NDC lawyers and MPP lawyers. MPP lawyers will always support things that benefit them in terms of the adjudication of matters in court and in terms of the fact that many of the cases they send to court are won by them. And so whatever the case is, they find a way of supporting the justices. Then you find that the NDC lawyers are also opposed to a lot of the decisions of the court. That, for him, is a big problem and a big challenge which we have to deal with. Clearly, it finds expression in the criticisms from Frank Davis that Kandapa was probably misguided and his argument is lopsided. Now, let me start with you, Honorable Dr. Admiral Kisi. Kandapa is a leading member of your party, and he is no mean, you know, a small man. This is a national security minister. He may be seized with information that we don't have. And clearly, he has never spoken on matters regarding justice system in this country before. So for the first time, if he has come out to make this, you know, assertion, that the perceptions of people is that, you know, the justices are biased towards one political party, then we must not just take it with a pinch of salt. We must look at the merits of what he has stated and find out whether or not there is some modicum of truth in there, even if we don't agree with the generality of the statement. Could it be that what he's saying finds expression in what is happening currently? And being a national security minister, it portends for some insecurity in the system going into the future, Doc.
All right. So let me take the opportunity to say a big hello to all our viewers, and more especially Anyasotum constituencies. This is a very wonderful topic, and I'm happy that we are discussing it. There's what we call superstar cases in law. I mean, for instance, the O.J. Simpson's case, Monica Lewinsky, you know, that's superstar cases. Now, one unfortunate thing is that the Supreme Court will rule on about 2,000 cases this year. And it so happens that there may be just one or three of the cases that the Supreme Court will rule on that everybody will be engaged in looking or observing. And that is why we have a problem to begin with. Because if we were to go and see all the decisions that the Supreme Court justices have made in totality, then the one-off cases might not be of quote-unquote concern. Many a times, it isn't the ruling they give, but it's the commentary outside of court that colors it either NDC or MPP. And why do I say that? Let's cite the most recent issue of elections. It was so bad that the justices had to warn the lawyers that if you should step out of court and go and make damning claims, non-factual claims, in regards to what happened in court, we will not allow you into the courtroom. Then the language started changing, because they would be in court and understand that the legal rules have been used and applied appropriately. But when they step out of court, then they go make totally erroneous comments. So I really think that what the minister should have really come out more to say is that those of us who make commentary about the justices' rulings, we ought to be very careful. Because when we color it wrongly, I mean, let's look at 2012. As it stands now, maybe any other justices would have said that Atukuba's ruling is still appropriate and holds and is right no matter the test of times. You understand? And I really think that we fast forward to 2020, a replication of what happened, quote-unquote, in the NDC era, and people will misjudge this Supreme Court justice's ruling that, oh, because MPP is in power, they made a decision not in favor of the NDC. But we all know, and KOD, you know very well that when it came to the NDC provided numbers to defend their case, you know for a fact that they didn't have it. And all the justices will make a decision based on facts in court, not what you make or say out of court. So I am of the opinion that, one, when you lose a court case, be mindful of what you say. When you win a court case, you also ought to be mindful. And we are not doing a good service to the nation. I mean, listen, I can bet you my last coin. I've interacted with some NDC, quote-unquote, lawyers who agree with the 7-0. You know, it makes sense to them. But for political reasons, they will not come out and say that, oh, No. I've met some, and I won't mention names. You understand? They said that the ruling, the assessment made on our case in terms of quorum is apt. You understand? And Kyori, if you read the narrative, it is a rehashing of what we agreed to.
Are they saying quorum or
present and voting? Because there are two things. If they are present and you get a quorum, but the voting was done by 137, not the involvement of the speaker.
The clarity in terms of the quorum numbers has been very well
settled
by the Supreme Court. And it is a reiteration of what we know.
They agree. That's what I was asking about.
Oh, I will come into all of that. But my point is that, and let me even say the reverse. In 2012, when the MPP lost, there were a few MPP lawyers who definitely agreed with Atukuba. But for political reasons, they won't come out and say. I mean, this is a problem we have in the country, whereby if you are, quote-unquote, NDC in your affiliation, you can't come out and support the ruling government when they are even doing the right thing. And I really think that this is what is creating this perception. And we need to, as professionals, be truthful to the oath we swear. And that is what is lacking. And I won't say it is NDC's problem or MPP's problem. But I think that in totality, I mean, this will not happen largely in the medical domain. You can't color people. If you color people, then your oath sworn as a doctor is bogus. You understand? In the sense that I can't have a patient come in and I tell myself that this patient is empty, so I don't take care of. No way. You can't do that.
One thing that is for sure or for certain is that what is holding our democracy is not because of the activities of political parties. It's because people find some comfort in the judiciary.
That some faith.
Faith, comfort, whatever.
Yeah.
In the final analysis, justice may prevail in the event that they take matters to court. Now, perception is very important. And yesterday, I think I advanced this argument on the show when I was a panelist, that in the rule of engagement or in the code of conduct for judges, they said that the court says that justices or judges must act in ways which will not create a certain perception about their independence and impartiality. So if a matter went to court, the demeanor, the gestures, commentary and all those matters, which gave Judge Chikata a reason to even question, we are having, commentaries are very important.
Let me start.
We are learning.
I've always been very pissed off about people who say that, oh, but I thought you. Maza, That is one of the most ridiculous claims in education.
It's not about teachers.
Because there are students who are much better equipped than their teachers. And I've been in that situation where students knew ad math more than the teacher who was even teaching. It happens. So when you come and tell me that, I taught you, you are not the authority on the subject. Listen, the likes of Bill Gates, when they sat in class, they knew computing even more than their professors. And that was the situation. So the professors in Harvard say that, we taught Bill Gates. The guy knew computing, played with computers far more than you, the professor Accra. When Bill Gates touched computers in the 80s, there were only four in the whole of America. Only four. How many professors had touched one? No, I'm just saying. So that perception and that idea that I taught these students, so they I know better than them.
It was one of the claims that he made. But on this particular matter.
But my key thing,
the issues raised by Kandapa is one that we can just gloss over.
We can't gloss over it.
Because for the simple reason that he's raising at this material moment, it means that he has done some background checks.
My point is that it is not the judge's ruling that matter. It is the commentary, you and I.
But commentary is part of upholding the integrity of the judiciary.
This is what I'm saying.
Commentary is
the part
commentary of it.
You and I
no,
give.
Commentary is part of it. Charlie, that is why when you bring Ilyasi, we have to... Why? Then we must all shut up and...
No. Have you looked at how many of the judiciary decisions were 7-0 besides this one? Have you looked at it? Personally, have you gone and done your checks to see that for the past 12 months, the chief justices have ruled on matters, and it seems that there were maybe 20 issues that they all agreed and 30 that they didn't agree. Have we done
in
that?
In the past, I know of...
In the past, I know that we've always had
dissenting opinion.
It's not always.
Because even the canons of interpretation, almost all the judges have different canons of interpretation.
It's not always.
So clearly, commentaries are very important in matters of judicial adjudication. But let me stay with him. I'll come to you.
I just need to caution you.
Mm. You are a host. Mm. You are not a discusser.
No, I'm asking a question.
No. Be careful of how you...
Oh, but Edgar.
How
I'm,
you
I'm,
interject.
I'm, no, I'm not...
Your commentary.
Edgar,
your
no.
Your commentary.
No, Edgar.
You are a host. No, you are a host. You are not part of the discussion.
I take exception. I take exception to it. Because I allowed him to make his first submission. I didn't interject.
No, the point is...
Let me conclude.
The questions that I'm... Because it was about energy.
Let me conclude. So my point is that, listen, in all fairness to the justices, they decide on many cases. Once in a while, one case becomes the superstar public case where everybody is interested in. But I think that, to be fair to the justices, it is rather appropriate that we go and check that in the past 12 months, their decisions, how has it been? Are there decisions where there are no dissent? Those decisions, what was it? And then how does it compare to this one? We cannot come and sit here and make a claim that this 7-0 is the only time that the justices have done 7-0 on cases in this country, or 9-0. So I beg in that question. And then I will state emphatically that, listen, a lot of the time, it isn't the decision that the justices have made, but rather, you and I, the media, those of us at home, how we perceive or what we say on the matter. In one breath, when it favors us, it's good. When it doesn't, it's bad. And we ought, as journalists, as media men, and as people that discuss these on the public platform, to be very mindful of what we say after the judgment has been made. Because sometimes it is the flaring up outside of court that leads to somebody getting shot because of how somebody comments about it. So a lucid case and say, those kinds of things can, make somebody so pissed off and pull a gun and shoot.
Edgar,
so that's my two cents about this.
Right.
Well, anyway.
You didn't make me say good morning.
To Jamila.
Jamila, it's been a while. Wherever you are, pop up. You see?
Yes, sir.
I'll tell you something here. Kandapa's statement it's very difficult to get the right words for his statement, but he should not have
spoken about that matter at all. You see, when you make a categorical statement that when it tilts towards us, so it is like you trying to tell somebody that, oh, why is it that every time you are giving this to this person, so give this sum to this person. That is what the statement is saying. You see, when you make a statement that when it tilts towards us every time, then it is like as if there's a bias. What we are talking about here is the dispensation of justice. And we must see it in that light, that is the dispensation of justice. So to the extent that you want to understand one thing, why are we talking about a bias? And I think I agree a lot with what my brother is saying here. We are polarized. That is what the system is. We are polarized. If it is not NDC, it is NPP. So even if NPP, like I've always been saying, the other day I was asking my brother here, that look, even your own security, you are not concerned, you're concerned about your own security, but because Akufo-Addo has presented a budget, right, you cannot say, look, this budget is not a good budget because it is Akufo-Addo who has presented it. That's the problem. In the same way, when the NDC comes up, what do we see? It is even more predominant in Parliament. I've always asked that question. So, wouldn't an MPP man see wisdom in what an NDC person is saying on the floor? And when will an MPP, NDC man also come and say that what my brother at the other side is saying makes sense? You see, you don't see it. So what happens is this. The parliamentarians go into parliament not because of their constituents, but they go to parliament because of their party. So this is what the party wants. So then they have to go in line with what the party wants. Yeah. It is not what their constituents want. You could have seen it from day one, in 2001, when the vetting was, you know, taking place. The party didn't want some members to be passed. That is the MPP guys. Some NDCs, that was the party's NDC's position, that they didn't want some members to go through, right? And you remember that this even brought problems between Haruna Idrisu,
yeah,
and then the party.
Yeah.
You get it? Because he thought, look, he's here to do a job. Let him do it to the best of his conscience. But this is what the party says. So he had problems. And I recall Sami Genfi making certain pronouncements and all that. So you see, the problem we have is we have divided ourselves. It is left or right. So what the matter is, even just like somebody who say, look, even when you talk to them privately and individually, they will confess the right position to you. But to come out there in public, they think that by saying it, it is a stab in the back of their party, or they'll see them as straightest and what have you. So we don't have conscience. Our conscience are lost. And that is the problem that we have here. And as I said, the statement Kandapa made, very, very unfortunate. Because the summary of that statement is, Charlie, if today you give this one, tomorrow go and give this one. That is the summary of the statement. And you cannot bring that into the justice delivery system. Maybe one of the things that I would have expected that Kandapa would have talked about would have been the issues that are surrounding the, how do you call it, the processes, the procedures, the, how do you call it, the technicalities and those things. Those are the things that
I would have wished that you talk about that. Look, when it comes to certain issues, don't come and say that I was supposed to file it in this way, but because I filed it in that way, so, you know, I'm not going to entertain. You get it? Those are the things that I think that whole delivery system must be looking at. Those things, the technicalities, those are some of the issues that I think becomes somehow disturbing to people. You get it? So look, when the case is there, and this is it, so you don't come and say that this matter should have gone to the High Court and not come to the Supreme Court, so I strike it out. The ordinary man in the street does not understand these things. And automatically, he begins to get that kind of negative picture about the judiciary, you know. So yes, there are certain problems there. And those are the things that I would expect that as part of the reforms, judicial reforms, we want to look at. But in terms of judgment, you know, one of the things that, you know, my brother was asking a question, and it is very true, very true. Look, if you take the judgments and then you read yourself, you get some kind of understanding into certain things. To a certain large extent, I think that the judiciary is also not helping us by, you know, even if I concur, okay, even I concur to whatever it is like, I still think that there must be this I agree thing, you know, should somehow be watered down. And each judge must also give his own kind of judgment. You know, even though you agree, you two are coming from a different point of view. So you two, you want to give something in support of what has
been writing the
judgment. Yes, because see, but then you have, one judge writing the judgment, and then the others agreeing, I agree. If you go back, you know, talking about from the 60s, when you read through the reports and all that, you see that, yes, even though it could be a 5-0, it could be a 7-0, at least each judge is giving their reasons, you know, like that. So to that extent, it enriches, you know, it enriches the discussions, it enriches the kind of arguments that, you know, you get to understand it better. But now you see a lot of, you know, like one man writing kind of thing, and then it looks like it gives a picture to the ordinary man as if the others they were just sitting down and waiting for somebody to decide. So that area, I believe that if the judiciary can look at it again and then give your own individual, you know, judgments, you know, it enriches it. And then it becomes, these are authorities that are being created by the day, you understand? And then it helps, because just as the Chief Justice was talking about the fact that you need to recognize the presence of senior lawyers in the courtroom, just because of the fact that when they are putting up their arguments and making their cases, the younger ones can learn from them and what have you. You may even have a lot of cases that are unreported. You see, unreported cases where they are authorities that people, you know, cite them. You get it? So some of these things, they help. But the angle my brother Khan went...
I disagree.
You see what I'm saying? That the summary of what he's put out there is to suggest that, look, it's like we are giving two
plea.
You see, that's the kind of picture. That's the kind of picture you are painting, because you are trying to say that, look, if it comes this way, so my people will say you are biased. So invariably, what are you trying to say? You are trying to say then don't when you come here, go here.
And you know what's funny too?
But Edgar, you see, that's why I like to ask this question, because I've engaged people on this matter.
Yeah.
And sometimes they share their thoughts with me.
Yeah.
So when I come here and I get the opportunity, I put it across.
Yeah.
The point is that the perception is that we have regime judgment or regime judicial education. Please, let me ask this question.
Yeah.
So would it be wrong for anybody to assume, because when NDC was in power, for instance, and then went to the 2012 court, the perception was that the MPP did not get fair trial in court. That was the perception.
Mm-hmm.
And they attributed it to the fact that, well, it's NDC in power, so the justices were pandering to the whims and caprices of the government of the day. Now, here is the case that the reverse has also been the case, that now they are saying that because the MPP is in power, the perception, or it appears that almost all the judgments from the Superior Court of Judicature have tilted towards the MPP. So perhaps, don't you think it's about time we looked at these matters closely before it gets out of hand?
Can I add one thing?
You know.
With your permission.
Okay. With Edgar's permission, do you agree?
Yeah.
Okay.
With one other issue we have, when MPP is in power,
it appears that NDC takes more cases. When NDC is in power, it appears that MPP... Have you looked at that too?
Yeah.
And that might appear that, something that can be settled, and we all know, then court. You understand? And maybe our decision to go to court in Accra has to be looked at. Because when you take frivolous cases to court, you get, as it is, a no.
Do you understand?
I see where you're coming from, but you see, that is what I'm saying, that you see, there again, who are the people creating this perception? These are people that, excuse me to say, as I said, it is a polarized system. So in terms of what their facts are, you get it? They are not interested. They don't want to know. They don't want to learn.
Thank you.
But if you are interested, you would agree. You see, my brother talked about the Atubuga's judgment, right? There's one thing that struck me about Atubuga's judgment, which for me, I felt that, look, that should have ended everything, right? The NPP relied on what the CI was saying, that if you count one something, if there's one above the number of this and that, you cancel. That is what the CI says. So based on that, the NPP is going to court, because if it is over plus one or whatever, you cancel it. But, or maybe somebody did not sign some pink sheet and things, so you cancel that thing. But you see, when Aduga put the statement there, he said, look, are you saying that because somebody did not sign the pink sheet, there are over 1,000 people who have queued since morning to cast their votes, we should make nonsense of all that? I mean, it's sound reasoning.
Should that just been a ruling?
You see, it's
precedent that will be...
It's sound reasoning. Fine, the CI says this. Maybe at the time of drafting the CI, some of these thoughts did not come in. But if people had done broader consultation, some of these things could have come in, and then they would have reframed it in a different way. So if you remember, at the end of the 2012 petition election, the question was asked whether the CI must be thrown away. And he said, no, go and polish it. You see, they said, no, don't throw it away. Go and do the right thing in the CI. You get it? And as I said, I thought that statement was just perfect, because it makes a lot of sense. So today, if I realize that my party has lost, I'll decide that I won't sign.
To nullify all the...
Then to nullify all the 2,000 people who came to stand in the sun to queue. You see? So that they are trying to tell that provision you put there is a weak one, and therefore remove it. Find a better way of counting it.
Mm.
And it makes sense to me. Now, let's look at 2020. NDC comes up and says that they had this number of, this number of votes here. They had this number of this. The MPP did not get this. So at the end of the day, Akufo-Addo did not get the 50 plus one. Right? Now, you've come to court. Where are your figures to substantiate your claim?
You say you don't have them.
You say you don't have them. So on what basis do you make that statement that the man did not get the 50 plus one? if you are brought in, because at the end of the day, you brought even some figures. And then, as the judge said, even the figures you brought, let's assume that those figures are right. If you take it away from the total figure, it will still not drop to 49.9%. So even let's assume that what you are saying is true. The figures that you brought, if we even take it away, the man will still be over the 50+1. Then, because of polarization, okay, you make cases. Talking about this issue that I remember, wasn't it in the Rawlings era when the NPP went to court about this, what's the name? 31st December.
Can I just make a remark on what you have said about the NDC not having figures?
Mm.
The NDC did not say they have figures that would challenge the ruling.
Mm.
They are saying that per the rulings of the Electoral Commission itself, when you take the figures and then you add and do all the subtractions and everything, the figure did not give Nanado the 50+1.
Okay.
So they didn't need to bring figures. They just said, look, you are saying you are the Electoral Commission. Mm-hmm. All the figures
I see what
are
you're
right.
Saying. Yeah.
Therefore, let's use those figures.
Yeah.
And so the final thing would have been if the Electoral Commissioner herself comes to verify. She says she won't come.
Wait a minute. I see where you're coming from.
Mm.
Now, speaking of this one, this 31st December
case.
Mm. Was it not Rawlings that was in the chair?
Yes. Mm-hmm.
But at the end of the day, the case went against Rawlings.
Mm.
The judge's rule, it was a 5-4 decision. Right? How do you call it? Is it the MPP versus...
Attorney General.
No, not that one. The plaintiff, the IGP, about this demonstration issue, right? It went against the government.
Mm.
That was when they went to bring the Public Order Act. Right, it was against the government.
GBC.
Yeah, the GBC for equal, how do you call it, representation on the state media. It went against them, right? So it is not like the way we are trying to create a picture that if it's you are the ruling government, you know, you are the one that, how do you call it, it's in your favor, and if you are dead. It's just that, as I said, we've polarized certain things. One of the cases that my own good friend John Mahama talks about this birth certificate matter, right? But at the end of the day, who was disenfranchised? At the end of the day, when the Supreme Court said that the birth certificate will not be recognized, blah, 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 blah. When we went to do the voter ID, who was disenfranchised in this country?
No, it wasn't about disenfranchisement.
No, that was the whole concept, because the whole concept was that the birth certificate shows that you are Ghanaian.
Yes.
Because people don't have passports, people don't have whatever it is like. Majority of the people
They just said add it.
No, that's not...
I don't know how I can be a Ghanaian.
Yes.
Whilst my birth certificate cannot be recognized.
No, you see,
official.
No, you see, I've
is
always...
Is the logic of it?
No, you see, I've always asked the question that when you are filling a passport form, when you are filling a passport form, there is a certain question there that one wants to ask. How relevant is that question? Okay, how relevant is that question? But this ruling makes that question very relevant. You see, it says, to be a national, it is by descent. Where you are, the one who born you. You see, your tree. So you realize that on the passport form, you are being asked questions about some grandparents.
Mm.
You get it? Some grandparents. Because I'm a normal someone said, but what's the relevance has my grandparents got to do with me applying for, how do you call it? So even though you you attach your birth certificate to the document, that particular thing is where they want to know where your tree is coming from as a Ghanaian. Okay, in the 1969, this Olympio Bonito guy that Afrifadems wanted to deport, right? That they wanted to deport because they say he's a Togolese.
Yeah, another case.
1969. If you go inside that judgment, you get to see that the man, some in grandparents, they was a baker somewhere at Adabraka, who is a Ghanaian. And then the fundamental point of the matter too was that the guy was holding a Ghanaian passport. He was holding a Ghanaian passport. So how then do you say you are deporting him? He's not a Ghanaian.
To where?
You see, so you need to understand how, you see, the birth certificate matter, right? The birth certificate matter is a recognition of you having been born. So you get a certificate.
In Ghana?
Everywhere. It's a recognition of you having been born. You get a certificate. So it is not really an issue of nationality. As I said, you see, it's interesting that when the judgment comes up, let's read it. You see, don't let's assume because of the things we know, you know, and then we want to do, because all along we thought that birth certificate proves that you are Ghanaian, right? But the law has come to explain what the birth certificate is and what it takes to
actually
be.
Actually, it proves. If you are not a Ghanaian, it's indicated not a Ghanaian.
No. No,
yeah,
no.
If you are a Ghanaian, it indicates.
No, there may be, maybe in recent times. But I mean, the time they bought me, we are not, that Campbell certificate was not there. Whether you, there was no place like a Ghanaian or not.
Because your nationality is Axe.
No, in the birth certificate, me, the time they bought me, my birth certificate, parents' name, my
parents' name. But you know, when you give birth abroad, you have to necessarily be given a passport. So, for instance, a child who is born like yesterday will have to be given a passport.
No,
I mean, of course. Because there's a friend of mine who
wants
to give birth in America. She's waiting for
there were some international.
I'm actually supporting what you're saying. The birth certificate may not necessarily determine that your nationality.
And that whole decision, the beautiful thing is that the addition of a passport is like an additional proof.
Yeah.
Because before you get a passport, somebody must vouch that we are Ghanaian.
Yeah.
And that additional element makes the passport more credible, although there are passport issues. But to get a birth certificate and then also get a Ghanaian to validate that, oh, you are my nephew, you are my niece, you are my son, makes you more credible. So,
let's just round up.
So when some of these statements are made, you see, I find them unfortunate.
Yeah.
You get, I find them very unfortunate. So you see, we try to chastise and castigate people who are actually supposed to be the place that, as you rightly said, if we disagree, instead of me to blow you or pull out a machete and fight, this is where we are going, right? We needn't create that kind of picture about them.
Yeah.
We needn't create it. The fact that, you see, if we are supposed to put down our political lenses and we want reasoning to take place, some of these things needn't come. Because that statement that Kandapa made, that is very, very unfortunate, because you have made it clear that, look, brother, is going here too much, so next time bring it here.
That is
where the problem is. Then how would justice be served?
How
would justice be served? Because they say I'm giving it to you too much, so let me give it here.
Edgar, Kandapa's issue. Let me come to you, Dr. Rashid Popo, respond to the same subject matter.
Thank you very much, and good morning to my West Central people and the rest of our Ghanaian
traffic lights, man.
Yeah.
The traffic lights, man.
Abbas.
Oh.
First of all, let me just state that thank you for Kandapa for making such a powerful statement. It's not easy for a ruling government person to make such an observation. And thank you because it has settled the minds of people who were all the time questioning from the ruling that has been referred to about birth certificate right up to now about voting and challenges about voting elections. NDC have gone to court. They did not take the law into their hands, and they have lost all the cases. But let me also say that in the case of the birth certificate, the reason was very clear. Remember that the NDC, through Parliament, announced to everybody, and their party announced to everybody that we're not going to do the voter the national ID, if it is where the only one to be used as a registration for a voter certificate or a voter ID, then we were not going to do it. We boycotted it. And then it resounded in all our constituencies all over the country. And the government, and when we went to court, government went and argued, and the court agreed to that with them, that to take add a birth certificate was not a necessity if you wanted to prove that you are a Ghanaian. And so the reason that you, my brother, Edgar, said was that because after the ruling, we shouldn't feel that the birth certificate was an identity of a person coming from Ghana, it was a right decision and all that and all that. The reason why there's a problem with that position is because of the historical facts I'm giving. The history of it is that we disapproved the ID, the national ID, as the only way to register, to be registered. And if you say add passport, how many people in the rural villages have passports? But some of them have birth certificate. You can verify that they are born there, they are citizens of the particular villages they have come, and all that and all that. Now the court decided to go along with government, and that was a very painful decision. And at a point we had boycotted the ID. And they said
Just a minute. Let's get this clear here.
Yeah.
You are an MP, so be careful with some of these things.
Yes.
This was Electoral Commission,
mm.
an independent body. It's not government. It's not government as a ruling country. It is the Electoral Commission that has come out with the rules.
With absolute support from government, because that was government policy. And it was supported by the Electoral Commission, bought into it, and they announced it. Government insisted that they wanted the ID only. And then you saw that there was a complete alliance between the Electoral Commission.
I only ask that because, just a minute, I only ask that because I want you to refer your mind to the Abu Ramadan case.
Yes.
The Abu Ramadan case, the Electoral Commission came out with some documents or some whatever that these are what they require to register. Abu Ramadan is an individual.
Mm-hmm.
Abu Ramadan is not government. He went to court and the Supreme Court upheld Abu Ramadan, that what the Electoral Commission was doing was wrong. You remember Abu Ramadan's case?
Yes.
So when he went to court, and then the court...
And not the government.
And not the government. You see, he went to court.
No, it was a different matter.
No, it was the same identity.
He was about using the
yes,
health
insurance. Exactly, the health insurance.
For registration.
For registration.
Yeah. And it had happened earlier.
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
And it wasn't like a current situation. Then he went back...
Deciding what
would actually be used.
No, it didn't give birth to it.
And that is it. Because the Supreme Court gave a ruling on what could be used. They talked about driver's license.
Yeah.
They talked about driver's license. They talked about the voter ID and then those other things.
Yeah,
so then they removed.
But
then they removed. Now, I just wanted him to get that.
The point I'm making is this. That a particular political party held the view that if you go to the rural areas, driver's license, passports cannot be found there. The ID card was limited in supply, and the voter ID card was to be done as soon as it was announced. And so people just thought that, look, in order to make it wide and make it possible for everybody to acquire a voter ID card and then a national identity card, allow birth certificates. And then, you know, they disallowed it. Now, the reason when they disallowed it, the intention, we believe, was to make sure not as many NDC people as possible were covered.
I like that. That was the
intention.
Your thoughts.
Yes. so we believe that.
Mm-hmm.
It wasn't as if, whether it might not be the case or not,
mm-hmm.
we believe that.
Perception.
Yeah, so there was a reason for it, and there was a reason for the government jubilating about the fact that birth certificates were excluded. But the truth is that Kandapa has said the right thing. You see, whether it is true that the law can be manipulated or not, in the minds of people, majority of people in this country, the belief is that, oh, if you temper these people in any form, they can change the judgment in your favor. For a government person to say this, it has settled so many people. In fact, if anybody has bad minds about the judges or about government, they have all withdrawn and said, oh, if Kandapa is saying this, it means the people are genuine. Well, let's go along with them. He is settling. His thinking and his speech has settled the minds of...
It has erased
the minds of so many people. And I think he should not be condemned. Because the law, they say, is an ass. If you whip it, it will go this way. If you whip it, it will go another way. Let's take the case of the voting of the first deputy speaker. It could have gone either way. The man, if it were, let's say the people wanted to vote to root for NDC, they could have voted, they could have said that, well, by the standing orders of parliament, a first deputy speaker cannot vote because he's a presiding officer. He might be counted as a quorum member because he's a member of parliament. But in descending from the top there to vote was not necessary, wasn't possible. And so, even though he's counted as a quorum, his voting has made the thing illegal.
And that would have been in consonance with your standard.
Yes, that would have been in consonance
with
our
standard. That would have been understood by majority of
everybody would have understood.
In plain language.
Yeah, but that's the law in another direction. The other direction was to say that, oh, even in descending and voting, he had the right.
Because he's a member of parliament.
Because he was a member of parliament. So each way could have been a fulfillment of the law.
Yeah.
So they could move that thing in any form. And that is often the nature of the law. If you whip it as an ass, it will move right. If you whip it as an ass, it could move left. And Kandapa is saying that don't only whip it to move left. Sometimes whip it to move right.
Because it will all make sense.
Because they will all make sense.
No. That is not
that. That is the intention of Kandapa.
No, that
and
is not.
Often
that is
and
not
often
the point,
it happens. That's why many of the rulings by the in today's judiciary often end up in appeal. Look at the case of the Asin North MP. Somebody wrote to the commission, electoral commission, to the government of Canada, indicating to them, I don't want to be a citizen of your country anymore. Please take me away. Remove my name from your list. COVID didn't allow them to act quickly. They were in COVID times. People were not going to work. For 1 year, he waited for a response. And then he indicated that for my intention and by my understanding, I'm no longer a citizen. So he went in to file. The people took him to court and said that he's not a Ghanaian and he filed. And he said, no, I'm a Ghanaian. Just at the time they took him to court, the Canadian government sent a response and said that we received your letter. We have approved. Go. Don't be a citizen anymore. So he took it to the court and to the electoral commission because they invited him and showed it to them. These are my papers. I wrote this application 1 year ago. This is the response. I'm not a citizen of the country anymore. And the matter went to a Kumasi High Court, Cape Coast High Court. And they examined all that. And immediately, they didn't even waste time. You are not a member of parliament. Please quit and go. I mean, on this one too, it could have moved either ways. The court could have said that, well, actions are judged by intentions. Your intention 1 year ago was that you were not a member of parliament. A member of the Canadian... Canadian citizens anymore. And so a response has come. And the law is not just about the letter, it's also about the spirit of it. And so we approve it. You are free to go. He didn't look at it that way. He looked at it from the other way. At the time you were fixing there, the response has not come yet. So you are no longer a member of parliament. It's dubious. So quit. You know, so it could have moved either way. So Kandapa is saying, don't always look at the thing only at one side. Look at it at both ways and take an objective decision. And I think he's right. And such statements, if we can allow people to make their statement, whether they are right or wrong, So others can contribute to them. We can make a headway in Ghana. But if people are condemned for what they say, ultimately will frustrate free thinking in Ghana. And I don't want to support anybody who frustrates free thinking in Ghana.
That's a very...
No, yeah, let me just make some...
Okay.
All right, well, let me just give some two responses here.
Yeah.
First of all, it is not for any bad, or should I say sacrosanct, reason. That's why we have the hierarchy. Okay. Someone says that the High Court is there. You're not satisfied with the High Court, you go to the Court of Appeal. Not satisfied with the Court of Appeal, you go to the Supreme Court with a possible review. I know of a case that went to the High Court. The High Court held a position, went to the Court of Appeal. The Court of Appeal upheld the High Court's position. Went to the Supreme Court. The Supreme Court upheld the High Court position. But on review, it turned. You see? One of the things is that, and that is why I'm saying that, you see, maybe the processes or the technicalities, those are the issues that I believe we need to be looking at. You understand? We need to be looking at some of those things. The question you are putting across, yes, of course. I mean, from one angle, someone will say that, look, the man says, I'm no longer interested in being part of you. He has written. All right? For whatever reasons, okay, at the time he was filing or at the time he wrote or whatever, if the document had not come or it has come on, this is the way someone is seeing it. Someone too may ask the question that, look, if I've paid my income tax and then the Ghana Revenue Authority says they are printing machine is done, and therefore they have not been able to print my certificate for me, does that mean I haven't paid my tax?
That's it.
Somebody too will say that I have applied for a passport. Somebody say I have applied for a passport. If the passport hasn't come, it means I don't have it. You see, it has so many areas, you understand. So maybe the judge sitting there, this is how she sees it. And that is why the other levels are there. So until it is exhausted, you know, we don't have to make so much noise about it. The processes are still ongoing. You get it? Let us see and see. Now, the other issue I wanted to bring about is about this, your quorum matter, and then your standing on this. First of all, you see, we need to understand that the law, which is the Constitution, has given you the power to regulate. Nobody disputes that. But that doesn't mean you can do something which is contrary to the dictates of the Supreme Law. That's one the Supreme Court can pronounce on that. That is why you have it in Article 295 of the Constitution, that anybody that the Constitution says you are authority on your own, like Parliament, like even the judiciary. That's why the judiciary itself, they take themselves to court. Right? Someone is able to sue the High Court, they are able to sue the Court of Appeal, and even the Supreme Court itself, they sue them. You get it? It says, despite that power given to you, it does not preclude the court from deciding on a matter of law. So yes, your standing orders may have said that if you are a deputy speaker or a speaker, when it comes to issues of voting or whatever, you are not there. That is what your standing order says. Fine. And you have used this thing since 1993 to date. Okay? Nobody raised the question. And the Supreme Court will not come and then interfere in you until somebody raises it. Okay? So if nobody had raised it, it would have still been there practicing. Now somebody raises it. Okay? And then the Supreme Court says that by the interpretation of what the law says, your standing orders is subordinate
to what the Constitution says. So it is what the Constitution says that you must seek. But then again, one of the problems that I have with Parliament is the fact that some of these things, I don't see why they even go to court. You get it? Because the Constituent Assembly, the Consultative Assembly, those who drafted the Constitution, their debates are all in Parliament there. Their debates are in Parliament there. They debated and decided that this is the way we should come up with
they
this.
They gave reasons.
They gave it. So all you need to do is to go and take the debate that the Constituent Assembly came out with the Constitution. You don't always have to go to court because the documents are all there. Just like you debate in Parliament and then every member on the hands that everything is taken until you come to the conclusion, you take a vote and then you do this. Everything is already there.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
You get it? So you could have just gone to look into the, how do you call it, the debates that the Constituent Assembly put up before they finally said that, so we would draft or would make this provision like this. You understand? So some of these things, as I said, at times we create unnecessary wahala when there's no wahala.
No, let me just say something, that Parliament is not our it's not part of our responsibility to interpret the law, even if you see it in a form, in a debate, and the intention and the rendition gives clearer explanation of what is in the law. You are still not the it's not still your preserve to interpret the law in any form apart from the judiciary. But as you know, we don't rush to go into court. It's often somebody else who goes to court. In the case of this one we are talking about, we have only gone to court this time because
I heard
the
review
court
has been filed out.
The Supreme Court,
the review.
The Supreme Court insisted that 138 in that ruling is the number the quorum
for
taking the decision.
Yeah.
And in the matter of the approval of the e-levy, there were 137, or let's say 136.
Because, and you know very well that somebody was in court.
No, let
which
me
made our number 274. So it doesn't hold.
No, no, that argument doesn't hold because Parliament is Parliament. Parliament is 275. Regardless of the fact that
somebody
is in court or that argument I don't buy. That argument that Chairman says, the number for quorum is not dependent on those present. The number for quorum is fixed. 1/3 of 275.
This Parliament,
and
this 8th Parliament,
yes,
if 10 MPs should kaput,
yes,
the quorum number will change.
No.
Let me. And the feeling that what Kandapa said was right. Remember when we took the matter, when they made ruling on the Asenov case, and the man went back to court and said that, look, it is too smart, it's too quickly to ask me to leave Parliament, so I'm appealing. Can you stay execution so that I can go through my appeal? What did the Supreme Court do? They threw the thing away. Unanimous, everybody, you don't need, we won't listen to you.
They should go to the lower court.
They ruled on a particular matter, not on the substantive case. You see,
they have the option.
Why are they in the Supreme Court now? They are in the Supreme Court because they are saying that the High Court hasn't got the right to interpret the Constitution.
Exactly.
And the High Court did interpret the Constitution. So they have gone to the Supreme Court the Supreme Court to determine whether the High Court had the right. So that main case is still there. They are in court just for this small one. So when the Supreme Court rule on that matter, they will come back.
Yes. So I'm saying that in all these things,
you can't skip
there's often
and go
a right direction
now.
or a left direction.
The process and procedure is a problem.
Yeah, you sometimes see, they can use technicality against you, they can use procedure against you, they can. The law then comes in at the final stages. Anyway, so my point is that
you are happy about
we
it.
we are members of parliament, but we don't make the policy. The policies come from somewhere. We only try to help the policymaker by giving by making the law to back his policies.
Right.
So if, for example, something is happening. And before we came here, we were talking about ambulances and the need, because the ambulances are breaking down. People are not having the real feel of it, because when it goes there, they will ask for money.
Even my constituency needs more than one ambulance.
And Edgar was saying, see, when we go to parliament, we should be talking about that. The reason we can't talk about that is that we don't do policy. We can't impose policy. The policymaker will have to say that, we have seen that our ambulances are not working well. Let's go to Parliament so the Parliament can make a law to change the trends. That is the point you hear us talking about it. But we don't initiate policy discussion.
All right.
Yeah.
Well, still to come, we will account for Ilevi Akufo-Addo tells Ghanaians, flooding in Accra. Accra needs structural plans. It's not just Accra alone. I think you should know this nationwide. We get into these matters after this commercial break. Stay with us.
Trasaco Estates, home to Accra's most beautiful and luxurious homes, presents its newest addition, Trasaco Springs, a premium master planned community of service plots surrounded by an exhaustive list of amenities. The gated community off Tema to Accra Motorway presents you the finest opportunity to own a land that suits your preferred size, budget and payment terms. Trasaco Springs is open to you for development. Our on-site sales executives are ready. Call on 055-659-2658.
I still not got the money for that list of expensive building materials you sent to me.
The price of the iron rod has been increased too much, hadn't it?
But relax. Look, that's not why I even called you. I just visited IPCP, where the engineers told me everything about your Trasaco first floor.
Trasaco, please, those people are expensive.
Are they not the people who do not make big houses now?
I bet you don't catch any guys.
Madam, in fact, I used to think the same of until I visited their office today, and they gave me an estimate of how much it will cost.
Jomo, the estimate is real. It's cheaper than the one I even sent you.
Wow.
Building contractors, foremen, masons, visit IPCP, the Trasaco Fast Floor. Engineers will assist you build an affordable, faster, and stronger building.
Edward Trasaco.
Oh, madam. It is done.
Trasaco Fast Floor. Stronger, faster, and affordable.
This is a Trasaco construction product.
It's incredible!
bang on target.
From Back to Commercial Break. Interesting conversations here. My panelists are well respected. I love them so much.
Yeah,
they all disagree to agree. Now, let's discuss e-levy. I think that is trite knowledge now. It's overused. It's abused. But we still have to have conversations about it. Honorable Rashid Pelpo, before the start of the show, I told you how disappointed I was in your caucus. For...
You're a host.
I don't want to... I'm asking a question, though.
You're a host.
He's asking a question.
No, I'm
asking a question.
Oh, yeah. He's not
debating.
He's
asking. See, we know conversations that we've had in private, but this is let me ask a question.
Honorable. Yes.
You see, again, we are perceiving, you see, by reason of what kind of person that some justices are biased. So can the same perception be used in this conversation that you people want to take money? And that the e-levy has been passed. And that even His Excellency John Dramani Mahama has come out to say that when NDC comes into power in 2024, they will scrap e-levy. Is this suggest that there's an admission that e-levy has been passed?
Well, at the moment...
Yes, sir.
The impression by the sponsors of e-levy assume that e-levy is passed.
President,
okay. I find
you.
The only opposition to it is coming from us and the many discerning Ghanaians who are saying that at the time of approving this e-levy, the numbers were not adequate enough to form a quorum. The only person or the only group of people or the only institution that can interpret the law and agree with the many of us is a court. That is why we have gone to court, for them to interpret, because that's the nature of it. Look, you can slap somebody and everybody sees that you have slapped the person, but if the person says I haven't slapped him, no matter how many of you have seen the slap, he will say I haven't slapped him, and it can be true.
It was a touch.
Unless you go to court, and court will go and say, yeah, it is true.
Will Smith slapped and Chris Rock.
That is the concept of the legal regime we have. That's the concept of governance.
Honorable, not to cut you short, but I think you have not answered
Kwame's question.
Well, the primary
I will answer the question.
Okay.
You
are not behaving like a judge. You're going flowery.
I'm giving you. He asked me whether what John Mahama has said.
Whether it's in collected money.
No.
He asked you two questions. Yes. They say you have collected
But then
money.
I decided to ask one.
The other one.
Then I'll go to the other.
Okay. Okay.
John Mahama, what he has said, shows that the thing has been passed.
Mm-hmm.
And I want to explain to you that he's only following the law.
Mm-hmm.
The law says that even if you see somebody shooting another, the person who sees the person shooting him cannot say that he has shot him. He has to go to court for it to be interpreted that he has actually shot him.
Mm.
And whether it is a murder or not will be interpreted by court.
But, yeah.
So John Mahama is relying on the court to interpret it. But for now, what the people are saying they have done, when we come, we will unveil it. That's what he's saying.
Undo it.
Undo it, unveil it, any of them is right. So whether NDC has taken money and passed, we didn't take money, we didn't pass it. We even, as much as we could, avoided being part of the discussion and the voting. Oh, yeah. We even avoided sitting there to agree or not to disagree about it. We said, look, in this matter, Ghanaians don't like it.
What a nice strategy.
Ghanaians don't like it.
Yeah,
and once they don't like it, let us not even sit there to take a decision about it. Because the first thing that will happen is that when we sit there, we give them a quorum automatically.
Yeah.
The second thing is that they are waiting with a very sick person there who, when we voted 6:30, they will go and bring him to come and vote 1:37, and that will be completely legitimate. We said, look, let's remove the legitimacy away from them.
Yeah.
Let's move out. and get them to use their 137. And then Ghanaians will know that they are wrong. But Ghanaians will know it, it will be proven by the court, because the court had ruled earlier on in the voting of the first deputy speaker that 138 is a quorum that will allow parliament to take a decision.
Let him land.
Let us go back to the court. Let them go and now say that the 137 is a quorum, and let us all see.
So you want the court to reverse that which has been signed by
at
the
president? At the point he reserved it, it will now agree.
Not to reverse, but I think
to declare it a nullity.
A nullity.
That's
to
what
say that it doesn't...
Yeah.
It wasn't done
in the right,
and that it was a null, decision taken, and that whatever they have come to, the decision they have come to has come to naught. We want that decision to be taken by the court. I don't know how the court can look at it and say no. That is the final thing that I agree on what Kandapa has said. Let us now hear whether 137 people sitting down to take a decision, whether the court will say it was right or wrong.
Okay, now let me ask you.
So it's a very important
question.
Let me just ask a question. Underrate the NDC decision. It's a very crucial, very important decision.
All right, let me ask you this question. So let's say that, yes, the court says that what happened is a nullity. Would you say now they are listening to Kandapa or what?
At the time,
NDC, what numbers did you have in Parliament?
We had 136.
They had 136.
Yes, and they also had 136.
They had 136.
With an ambulance waiting with another person.
But I hear the ambulance, it was an NDC.
But how is one counted as part of a quorum?
That's what James Obosu said.
How is one counted as part of a quorum?
To be present.
To be present.
Yes.
And you're saying that so at the time when quorum was formed, they were 137.
Yes.
At what point did that...
136. They were 136.
But do you think that the speaker would have still gone ahead to request for voting if quorum had not been formed?
No, the speaker cannot decide that there is quorum or not.
No, but to that, how was it
the quorum...
It is a member that must raise it.
Yes, let me explain this thing. The question of quorum, the question of a motion, the decisions taken by Parliament are the initiative of members of Parliament.
Yeah.
If I decide, if 10 members of parliament go to sit down and they say they are taking a decision and nobody raises a quorum, then they will pass the matter.
Mm-hmm.
It is only later on you can now say that the list was made up of 10 people, I'm going to court.
Mm-hmm.
But the speaker cannot raise the question of quorum.
So as it stands now, ILEVI has been passed.
That is the
as
interpretation
enacted.
That is the interpretation now
no.
by
passed.
The people who are not taking it legally. The legal interpretation will not come, whether it is
that
true
is
or not.
I'm not referring to the legal interpretation. I'm saying that as we speak today,
in
the submissions that were given to me, because on the floor of parliament, no member of parliament raised
a quorum. Yes.
So on the basis of that, ILEVI has
it
passed.
And
so
enacted.
The president, yes, so the president has not erred in appending his signature to...
No, nobody has... Look, nobody has erred until it is said that you are erred.
Yeah. So now... As it stands now,
mm-hmm.
it has passed. Until a determination is made by the court, ILEVI has been passed.
Thank you.
Assuming that the matter delays. And the case is called after first meal, it would have been implemented.
You can go to court because you are emotional about it, or you are sensitive about it.
Yes, I am.
You can decide to go to court and say that the Supreme Court or the lower court, any lower court, please hold. How do you say?
Please, an injunction.
Stay of the execution.
Yeah.
That you should. They should stay executing.
The
ILEVI because it did not go, it was not elected,
my
it was not
but I thought that is the reason why you are in court.
My late
No, no, no. Staying of execution.
They were, so why are you they were hoping to stop the president from signing. What signing at the end of the
No.
So
the president.
They are not in court for the stay.
Okay.
They are
in court for the stay.
They are in court to the, for the
process. So, but I'm saying that you can go to court. You can make a name. And say that to stay execution.
Let me help you a little.
You have a lot of people to go to court.
Let me help you a little bit.
You know,
the thing is.
Oh, but you are a legal student. You can't say it's
happening. No. I asked you two questions.
I answered you. Saying that if you are conscious about the law, you will say that yes, but the law, but it's not passed.
Doc,
let's
let me,
for the
let
law
me help
you see,
interpret it.
In all of these matters, the Supreme Court says something.
They
said that when it comes to procedures, rules, and things like that in Parliament, it's a closed book. It is left for Parliament to make a determination as to what the Supreme Court has said is right or wrong. Do you understand what I'm saying? So on this subject matter, once you have told me
we have not made a decision
on it, that nobody has raised an issue of quorum.
I'm explaining something.
You have explained to them.
No. You are interpreting. Let the listener know what you are saying. I'll explain that for you to understand further.
Please do.
I'm saying that the speaker cannot raise a question of quorum.
Oh, yes, you said that.
Nobody can raise a question of... only a member of parliament can raise.
You should have stayed in and raised
it. If anybody came
in,
came in to raise a question of quorum, we would have been defeated because
you would have, gotten the
you would have been adding to the number.
You were 136.
Yes.
They were 136.
136.
136.
Yes.
Uh-huh. So if one person from NDC has stayed, it would have been 137. There would still have no...
There will, if they say quorum, if you want to raise quorum, they will say, okay, let's count. In the course of the counting, they will go and bring somebody. So let them take the 137.
You are supposed to stay in to raise
Let them take the 137 decision. And then we can now go back to the same court.
Right.
That says that 137 cannot take
So let me help.
I don't know why Honorable Adonis is so confident and so happy and
laughing.
And Honorable raised the issue of whether or not there was some consent.
Let me help Dr. Rashid. My key thing here is that, you know, when Ghana decides to drive left-handed and you say that you think that we are not driving left-handed, you go and drive right-handed and you see what will happen. My key point here is that honorable
Adem Afa,
as it stands, you know, NDC was dizzied somehow, bamboozled somehow, or
you bamboozled them, eh?
Unfortunately, the cajoling by the majority, you know, has made it happen.
Seriously, the MPP, the MPP boys, they be bad boys.
You know,
they are bad boys.
So, as it stands, Honorable Rashid Pelpo, the e-levy has been enacted by the president. And it is law.
And
it to undo the law in this country, it is not a small joke.
Why? Is it by the ruling of the Supreme Court? It's finished.
Why? It is not a small joke. Now, the other thing I want to say. You know that the empowerment given to GRA, the empowerment given to SNIT, all of these crucial decisions in this country, interestingly, if we go back, there wasn't a quorum. Very interesting. I've actually had a look.
Yeah.
And what I'm trying to say here, just as he said, in one of his decisions, will the NDC tactics put this whole country at a standstill? Is that what we want? The judges would.
This is
the way you invoked that question, that if 2,000 people come and vote, and then you decide that I won't sign, so it nullifies all, and it is in that same spirit that the Supreme Court justices will make this decision and say that listen, in a sum total. Is it that you are trying to achieve anarchy? Is it that you are trying to be so disengaged that you don't want anything to work for Ghana?
When we sat down...
Is that what you want?
And then we said we...
And
we,
the judges, just like in the book of the Bible, where the judge said that the women should... whoever wants to go and kill the child, the judge made that wonderful decision that the one that said, you let the woman have the child so that the child will live. That is how the judge made the decision. You understand? It is in that same concept that the Supreme Court makes its decision
mm.
and would ask that key question. Does the NDC party
want the country to
suffer? They don't want the country to go, or they want us to be at a standstill. Now, we are a position in this country where we cannot, in all fairness, go out to take money to run this government. We are in a position where, whether you like it or not, it is 80% to GDP. That is where we are.
In terms of our indebtedness. You see, let me tell
you
something.
Oh, something like, if you would end it, then can you bottle all your submissions and fire up for like a job
I think that the true question to the NDC party is that, what are you actually working for? Are you working for the Ghanaian people or strictly for your parties?
To the extent this question should be
you
to
are
NDC,
so blinded.
Not to NDC.
You are so blinded. You are so blinded by everything that has gone on.
I can't talk so.
I really think that the procedures in Parliament, the procedures and the way and manner we've conducted ourselves over the past 3 months, I've always been saying that I take my hat off for them. Because if not for them, the President's comment about we will account for the e-levy would be a bit shaky. But for them, now the GRA is a main stakeholder in the collection of the e-levy. The monies will also go to the Common Fund, which is powerful.
What fund?
It will go to the Consolidated Fund, which is powerful. So I really think that they should clap their hands. That was not the case when the bill came in November. And these are the pluses that the NDC should tell themselves and pride themselves in, that if not for their in
the
Parliament.
Is the Consolidated Fund used as a collateral for something?
No, it cannot be.
And then the beautiful thing is that when it goes into the Consolidated Fund, even one Ghana city moved, everyone would know where it goes.
Is it possible that in the future we can use the Consolidated Fund?
Not at all.
They will use the e-levy.
No, you
that's what I'm
it.
Saying. Because if the money goes into the Consolidated, the money is going into the Consolidated
yes.
Fund. Can't they collateralize it for loans?
Now,
they can't do that.
The beautiful thing,
yeah,
KOD.
That's what will happen.
The beautiful thing, I really think that, like I'm saying, the beautiful thing that the NDC, through their machinations, have done for the e-levy, and I'm surprised they're not coming out to say boldly that, you know, per their, you know, contractual stubbornness in a way, the finance minister, you know, allowed some of the concessions from 1.75 to 1.5, from being in just a fund, which would have been controlled by finance ministry, to Consolidated Fund. And then also the fact that, you know, initially, you know, in all fairness, initially I think a third party was going to be doing the revenue collection. But that has been scrapped. And these are powerful positives that they should come out and talk about.
Let me just make a statement before.
Powerful
positives. Yeah, okay.
When he made those red herring arguments, is NDC, do they like Ghana, you know, if they change it, there were other laws that were not done, and they have established organizations. Therefore, when we do this, it's good. It's just, let me say, in quotes, bogus argument.
Ooh.
The reason is that in one look,
in
approving,
in approving
the budget, they walked out because they didn't have numbers. They were going to lose.
Mm-hmm.
137 affairs.
But you made a mistake of counting. In a way, you established the number that was in the chamber.
And then, you know, threw the budget away.
In ours, we didn't.
They came back and said that 137 was not a courage number. So they decided to vote it, to take it up themselves. And then somebody said, look, I have to go to court, and went to court. So that was our 137. Was said not to be a courage number, so it was out.
Yeah.
But
they said it was 137, but there was a speaker who was also a member of parliament, so they were 138. Now, there's also another number.
And they walk in and come when their bag.
That approved the e-levy. So we want them, to rule again about their 137. That's just all.
All right.
So that it will make
the legal system,
which was not counted.
Okay.
Ours was not counted. We didn't raise that question for the members.
Nobody raised a quorum in our place. We just, nobody raised a quorum. We just
what he's trying to say is that yours, you counted yourself.
Nobody counted us.
Ah, the 137.
Nobody counted because they simply went out.
Yes.
And they said the people left who wanted. No, nobody counted.
It has been documented that it's 1370
because it's assumed that that is.
It was documented.
But the point is also that once they walk out, the remainder would be 137.
Yeah, that's right.
And so that is automatic.
And we the beautiful thing is the question was posed whilst they were leaving the chamber.
No. It was a question of approving the report.
Right, yeah,
it has nothing to do with the software.
Let me come to Edgar. Respectfully, sir.
Well, you see, this e-levy issues, somehow, I think that the NPP has not been fair to the NDC.
Oh.
Is he, and, oh yeah, I think the NPP has not been fair.
What about that as well?
Hey,
truly,
you see, NPP boys told me a bad one. Very, very bad. There was something I got through, I said, I couldn't believe it. I loved and loved and loved. The day for the e-levy, that 29th March, right? That 29th March. MPP, you can trust them. That was the day the president was commissioning the Tamale, highway. That's the day the president was commissioning the Tamale highway. Good. And you know what? They had invited, I think, 7 MPs of the MPs.
They didn't announce it was the day they were going to
be. Meanwhile, the road minister was in parliament. And then they were even on their way to the airport to go and they board the plane. And then they went, somebody announced, somebody sent a signal to them that, hey, E-Levy is coming. So they all had to rise back.
Yes.
So that one would have been a cool song for the MPP boys.
They will call and tell them, E-Levy is there, fly and come.
but you know, on the more serious
they should have gone on the flight.
But the more serious goes, I think the MPP guys have not been fair to the NDC guys. You see, why do I say so? Look, in the period 2001, right? 2001, the NDC guys virtually everything was in consensus. That the NDC guys even incurred the wrath of their party for agreeing with the MPP on so many things.
Yeah, and that before.
Even I think that contributed to Okudzeto Ablakwa leaving the
appointment committee
and all that. So I think that the NDC throughout the 2001. 2021, right? The NDC guys actually did a lot of collaboration with the MPP to let the period 2021 pass smoothly. The budget was approved, members of parliament were approved, everything that was brought approved. You know, so I could see that there was some kind of consensus building there. And I think if I recall, I've been two or three occasions, the president even had praised, you know, the speaker and parliament, like making things move smoothly. He counted himself as a blessed person because having had such a parliament and things had moved on smoothly. The last I heard of this statement was the Millennium Excellence Award. Yes, when the president said that he had even wished the speaker was there with him to, you know, he thanked them and everything. So if all this has gone on, the NDC guys have, you know, cooperated with the NPP guys all this time. And then there's a particular issue when the NDC guys say, look, this one, we don't agree. I think it would have just been fair enough to, you know...
Some concessions have been made.
No. The point I'm making is this. For the whole 1 year, 2021, they did not create any problems for you.
For you, yeah.
Everything that you put on board, they polished it up and then it went. You understand? So if it has gotten to one time and they say, this particular one, I don't agree with you, I think you should have given them some kind of, you know, hearings on that matter that, every time you have agreed with us. So if this one we say we don't agree, to make the spirits, you know, because I can see that this one now is going to bring more antagonistic, you know, some acrimonious kind of relationship in parliament.
We'll work on
people
it.
People like him who are very
gentle,
objective, will not be there to. They won't allow him to talk.
You see, so I think on a more serious note, I think that the NPP did not do well. They should have at least given the NDC that, you know.
We are sorry.
You know what I'm saying? If I have agreed,
but
things
have been passed.
You see, with you. So I just looked at it from that side and
right.
I said, well, you know, that's
we'll,
it.
We'll change.
But you see, me, I've maintained my position. And I've made, my position is very simple. I'm saying that, look, the e-levy will not solve Ghana's problem.
Agreed.
So, after e-levy, then what's next? You are going, because you are still in debt. And the debt keeps mounting by the day.
We are still in debt.
Yes, you see? The debt is mounting by the
just
day.
Before we approve some new debts.
You see? Let's ask ourselves certain questions. So, in Kufuor's time, two-thirds of our debts were forgiven. At a point in time, the dollar was 1-1.
Oh.
Today we sit here, the debts that were forgiven, we have
brought it back
and then added and tripled it. And the dollar is now 1 to whether it is 8 or 7, whatever it is. I mean, these are real serious issues that we have to look at as a country. Yeah. You know, and the polarization and all those things, it's not helping anybody. It is the country that is suffering. I saw something interesting on GH1, some lady talking about total debt, how much each one owes, and then when Akufo-Addo leaves office, all things standing as they are, how much each one would owe. You know, talking about those debts, and then talking about the revenue and how much was spent. And it's quite some very simple thing that the person put out there. And it was like, hey, really? So that as it stands today, every Ghanaian owes about 12,000 Ghana cedis or something. So by the time Akufo-Addo will leave office, all things being equal, without any new additional loans or probably the cedi losing its value and whatever, it will come to 18,000 in the year 2025. And then early 2025, now we have some serious $1.5 billion to that we have to pay for these our euro bonds and some things. So immediately that money too we have to pay. So we are looking at all that. Hey, brother, this whole e-levy thing, you see? And I saw another clip, and one lady trying to explain the e-levy about why we should, I saw it was yesterday or 2 days ago, some lady talking. And the question is this, the lady raised a very important question in that thing, say, who should pay?
Mm.
And the thing is that, who should pay? The people who benefit should pay, and not the people who are just, facilitators or whatever it is like, receivers. Because here is a situation that, look, the kind of monies that these telcos made during the lockdown period, right, they made a hell of money.
Mm.
So why can't we have a certain special tax for them? Then you want to look at the e-commerce that we are talking about. But for a sender sending something here and sending something there and those kind of things, I think that we are not really helping the system, because there are people who have actually benefited. It's just like this man, what's the name? Alibaba. Black Friday. The money he made on Black Friday is more than Ghana's GDP.
Yeah.
You see?
Yeah.
So, and it's all through this electronic kind of thing.
Yeah.
So what do? You tax him heavy. But then you don't say the ordinary man who is going to do this and do that, you want to tax them. You know? And as I've always maintained, that if we think that taxes is the only way we can develop this country,
than a lie. We can never develop this country relying on only taxes.
Right.
You know, that is why that state-owned enterprise report that has come out that seems to be showing some companies that are not doing well, and then they are running into serious deficits and what have you. That is why I find that report so important. And then the next thing is this: as a country, what are we going to do with this kind of thing? Because we really need those enterprises to generate revenue so that they can pay good dividends to government. And then the government will use those monies for the developments that we're looking for. But if you say we are looking at taxes, my brother, it would...
We'll struggle for nothing.
We wouldn't be able... We won't go anywhere. Because one of the funny things is that if we are being honest with ourselves, we are deteriorating. We are not even saying we are at that equilibrium.
The rate of growth is also another problem.
Yes! So,
without corresponding...
You see, because that is where your problem is. That is where your problem is. Because, you see, if you... this is under the presidency, Population Council, right? The Population Council is under the presidency. You wonder what kind of, you know... because if I think the Population Council were really working and their data were taken seriously, we'll see the problem that we are creating for this country. We see the problem that we are creating for this country. Because very soon, as we have talked about this, water is going to be a problem. Water is going to be a problem. And I haven't seen that aspect in any of the budgets telling us the extent to which we are going to improve or make water accessible to the... Once in a while, you hear reports that some people and cattle are drinking water. You hear reports that some people and some one are sharing, some places don't have water and all that. And you ask yourself, what is really going on? And water is life, you know?
Okay.
The next thing is food.